Buckle up, Buttercup. Live from Gloucester, Massachusetts, podcasting around the world.
Around the world.
You're listening to the Gloucestercast Podcast, a production of Joey Shimataro and Good Morning Gloucester Media. Kick back, relax, and enjoy the show with your host, Joey Shimataro, and his crew of merry castaways. No piping plovers will be intentionally harmed in the production of this podcast.
Good morning, Gloucester. Is it? It's 12:04. I guess it's good afternoon, Gloucester.
Good afternoon, and still morning for some people.
Sure. Yeah, that's true. We are joined by a podcast virgin to our podcast, Michael Yates. What do we call you? I don't want to misrepresent. What do we call it?
That's okay. I'm a casting producer working for Pilgrim Media Group.
And you guys have casted Wicked Tuna.
Yeah, Pilgrim produces Wicked Tuna, going on 11 seasons now.
Wow, and there's a lot of characters on that show. So sure that Pilgrim gets a lot of accolades for the success of the show, because if it wasn't for the characters, you don't have a show.
Man, at the end of the day, it's stories and people, right? It's not, you know, necessarily the biggest fish that they catch. It's not the boat. It's always about how much do you love these guys and want to see them do well and want to see them put, you know, fish on the deck and root for them, you know, and or against them. You know, maybe some people are a little rough around the edges and they're like, I really want that captain to be that captain. But yeah, it's because they're great guys. That's why you want to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have any idea of how many countries Wicked Tuna is broadcast to now?
That's so crazy you said that. I think it's 119 or 120 some odd countries and 43 languages.
That's phenomenal. Is it? And it's also, isn't it the most the highest rated show on National Geographic?
It might be currently, I don't know if it, of all time. That I don't know. But I know it's seen all over the world. Like, think about it. Actually, I was talking with my wife about this morning. It's a primal thing, right? Everybody in the entire world fishes. They all get it. They all need to feed their families. They understand commercial fishing. That's something that's common in obviously enough countries that it's in that many different languages. So it's a really universal thing.
Michael, I got a question for you. Where are you currently now in the world?
I am in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Cincinnati, Ohio.
Close to bourbon country.
Yes, very close to bourbon country. I guess my question is, when you cast for any particular show, and this one in particular, Wicked Tuna, have you been to Gloucester before?
No, is a short answer. I was excited when I got the call from Pilgrim. We're all freelancers, so I work on a bunch of different shows, different production companies. I've talked to them in the past about working on this show, and I was stoked because typically what you do is a little bit of this, a little bit of online outreach, getting the word out, and then you grab your camera, mine's up back up over there, and go there and walk the docks and meet guys and interview them on their boats and do it live. But with the state of the world as it is right now, there's my camera.
A follow-up to that would be, how difficult does that make your casting job? And what do you look for when you do cast people, you know, to be on the show, especially being a local town like Gloucester and Wicked Tuna? What are some of the things that you look for while casting, and how hard is that for you at this moment?
Right. That's a good question. So it's not a lot harder than a lot of things I end up casting because, fortunately, you're not going to lie, you know, 10 seasons deep, people know about the show. Like, your audience are going to be like, oh, they're finding more people for that. It's, you know, I know it's done well for the town. So it's not incredibly difficult. What it is it's getting everybody who would agree from, you know, showrunners and producers and cast members and then eventually the audience to all agree, yeah, this team, this guy, we want to see his story. We want to know about his crew. We want to see them talk shit to each other. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're leading into the other question. That's what we're looking for. likable, professional tuna fishermen that are going to have – if they're having a good time catching fish, we're having a good time watching them. You know what right. I mean?
So you don't want a dud. You want a real character out there.
Yeah, somebody, you know, and maybe it's somebody who has a different method or a different background or something.
Interesting to me is that – I'm sorry for interrupting you, but interesting to me is you said you want likable characters. But it seems like for these shows, you have to have an antagonist and a protagonist. So when you say you're potentially looking for someone to, another captain or another crew or another crew member, I would like to for you to clarify for me: are you just looking for a likable person, or are you potentially looking for a curmudgeon that has a big personality?
So when we start, it's funny. You don't go out of your way to say, I'm looking for a hero. I'm looking for a villain. Hmm. You're looking for a big character. You're looking for somebody who speaks right. their mind, who's over the top.
Right.
And then the audience kind of decides. Like, people either can roll with it and they like how that person does that thing, or it's a little too abrasive and maybe they're a little too bold and a little too braggy or something. And that just kind of unfolds more in the field and in real life. Like, it's not me saying, oh, this guy kind of rubbed me the wrong way, but he's funny to listen to. You know, it's like they're not a hero or a villain yet. They're just a good character that can put fish on the deck when I find them, you know.
Now, do they do field tests? Like, if a character is undesirable, let's say, or not as popular as somebody else, do they have these like production meetings and say, listen, let's do a test, like a Family Feud, where they go out of 100 people and like, do they say, well, this guy's not really cutting it, and that takes the pressure off your job, or you have to go find somebody else, or they have to fire them and not you?
It's a casting process, right? So a lot of heads, without giving away too much, I mean, a lot of people have to agree, this is the guy, this is the team, before mm-hmm. they end up on air. And then once they're on air, we're filming. We can't redo the season. It's expensive to shoot, you know? So
you also said earlier that a big part of it is the ability to catch fish. Because if they don't catch fish, it just extends the time of, you know, you have to pay for these cast and crews and extends this a ton of expenditure. So you want, first and foremost, I would imagine, like before anything else, they got to be able to catch fish. They got to be salty, right?
Yeah, that's it. That's right up there. It's equal. Oh, you got to be kidding me. Give me one second. I'm so sorry.
No worries.
Yeah, it's got to be. I would say it's tied. It's right there, side by side with personality and somebody who's engaging to watch. Like you said, whether he's a villain, but yeah, they have to be able to actually catch fish. You know, of course, and over the years, I think people have gotten it. But of course, people reach out. They're like, "Oh, are you kidding me? I fish all the time." But they're sport. They're not feeding their families with this, and that's kind of a key point too. Like, if you're a sport fisherman, you don't catch a tuna. You didn't catch a tuna that day. You're paying your mortgage and feeding your kids with that fish. That's a bigger deal.
Right. No, I have a couple. So we have a lobster company in Gloucester. And, you know, whereas 20 years ago, tourists would come down and ask where, you know, the sites were for the perfect storm. And since the popularity of Wicked Tuna, I mean, these guys are big time celebrities. Like, you don't know how much money the town generates in revenue, people that are coming to Gloucester to find Dave Marciano or TJ or tuna.com. And they really, it's a boon for the town.
You know, the good thing too is that they're actually all spread out. I'm sure you know that too. They're not all at one dock. So when people do come, you know, you might have East Gloucester, you might have downtown Gloucester, like West Gloucester. So, yep. And each of them are by local businesses. So the foot traffic for those businesses sending, I get approached all the time and say, oh, hey, can you tell them where Marciano's boat is or where the hot tuna is or something, right. You know?
That's true.
Yeah. I love hearing that. What's that phrase? Rising tide lifts all boats. When I love when something I've worked on has really worked for a local area and people start going there to stay in the hotels and eat at the restaurants and, you know, just drive more money to that area, especially right now.
Yeah, no, it definitely does. I'm going to give a story about being on the dock for as long as I have. When I was kids, my cousin and I are partners. And when we were kids, here's a story of a guy that had a tremendous job, like with IBM, and he's a very wealthy guy. And he had a nice boat, and he went out and he caught a tuna fish the first time he ever went tuna fishing. And he went home to his wife, and this is, I could repeat this story about 10 different people that I know. Went back and told his wife, "Honey, this is easy. I can do this." He quits his job at IBM, you know, 20 years ago, paying him $100,000, which today is like 250 or whatever. And he, you know, spends all the money to gear up the boat, and he goes out for like a month straight, and he has like the expenses. I don't know if people know how much money it costs to leave, just to leave the dock with bait and fuel, mate and stuff like that.
Not to mention the rods and reels that you have to buy. They're very expensive.
Very expensive. So the guy would go out for a month every single day. Now the wife is home, right? And he's coming home. There's no tuna being landed. And she's saying that this idiot, he just like gave up on a big job. And he, in her mind, he's out there drinking beers and, you know what I mean? Like having a ball with his buddies, fishing, living his dream. Meanwhile, there's no money coming in. And not only is it not coming in, it's going out like rapidly. It's not as easy to, you know, people ask, my brother-in-law asked me last week, he's like, you know, could a regular guy make a living tuna fishing? And I said, Barry, I said, way far and away times more than not, they're not going to make a living tuna fishing. So these guys are special, that can do it.
You can see it on the show, Joe, if you watch the episodes. I mean,
pros.
They're not crying, but they're actually being realistic about not being able to catch fish, and this is what they're doing, not only for the show, but for themselves, too, to feed their family. So, you get a great point there.
Yeah, no, I know. So let's get back to the point of this, though. You are potentially looking for a captain, a boat, a crew member. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, it's not, like I said, it's not in stone. They know they would, you know, they're sniffing around. They're seeing if there's somebody else that they're like, is there somebody in town? Is there somebody nearby that we've somehow overlooked these past few seasons and should be on there? So if, you know, if your listeners are thinking, well, I'm not a professional, they might know somebody, you know, it might be one off. It might be your neighbor. It might be somebody you've gone out with when they charter or something like that. They're like, oh my God, that guy's hilarious all day long. Or he's so fun to be with.
How does one get to you? How does one approach you or your office if they are interested in and the viewers are watching right now, think either they would be perfect for the show or like you said, somebody, hey, I know somebody. How would they get a hold of you to express their interest and maybe becoming the next, you know, Marciano?
Two ways. One is to just email us at wickedtunacasting@gmail. With, you know, why should you be on the show? Tell us about your boat. How many years have you been fishing? You know, how many seasons have you been out? Tell us about your mate. Tell us about relationships on the show. And that's a. And then there's also, and I can send you guys a link. You can go to the Pilgrim Media Group website, and there's a casting section. And people can apply that way too. I don't know if I can put it in the chat. You can set that, and there'll be this landing page there where people can fill out the form.
You wouldn't necessarily be looking for a guy like Joe or I that's never been out tuna fishing before, and having a cast member that gets yelled at all day to get, you know, that type of scenario.
Like Gilligan?
Yeah.
You would be a perfect Gilligan.
Oh, no.
You would. Yeah.
Right. No, it's funny. I wanted to short answer, no. If you guys can't fish, you can't apply. Really.
Bottom line. End of story.
That's it. That's good. That's good for everybody.
The type of stuff people need to tell us, that's one thing people always need a little bit of help with. Is because they don't know, you know, they don't know what we're necessarily looking for. But if there's video of you and your mate yelling at each other and that's stuff that's solid gold, or, you know, whether it's a heated moment or a fun moment, videos of that, a story about something that happened on your boat, time you
have you ever off. Seen the have you ever seen the video of the guys? I think they're like South Boston guys that saw a sailfish, the mola mola.
I haven't seen that.
They made it onto like Jimmy Kimmel.
They made it onto Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
These guys were like hardcore Southie guys with the real Boston, like, you know, masshole accents. And it was pure, it was
like you said, gold.
Gold. Those guys would be tremendous.
Let's get them as guests.
You know what? That's a great idea because that video was probably 3 or 4 years ago now.
Longer than that.
And they're probably like, you know, bums in Southie right now because they're living off of that glory for a year or two. And now they're probably just like stumble bum drunks.
The rebirth.
Yeah. That would be a great idea. Yeah. No, I think that's fantastic. Well, no, I think this is great. We have in the show notes of this podcast on a Good Morning Gloucester, the links are all there. Your flyer is there. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Just that, you know, while we do want to hear about your boat, we do want to hear about your best season. It's so much about personality, you know, which, you know, so videos are helpful. Stories are helpful. Anything that illustrates like, I want to watch this guy fish. You know, you can have the most badass decked out 50-foot boat, you know, ever. But if you're not going to talk and you're not going to talk smack right with your crew, we can't watch a cool boat by itself.
Useless. Yeah, right, absolutely right. Useless. Yeah.
No. Joey, I would be remiss.
Oh, thank you.
I would be remiss for our podcast virgin.
I'm sorry. We have a thing that we do. It's that the podcast virgins. Hold on one second. I just got to put something in here. I have a two-part question. So you being a podcast virgin, we're going to ask you two questions. One is death row. Oh, by the way, I would be remiss if I didn't say something to you.
Ooh.
I see that on WEEI, the sports radio, they stole our death row sub and death row meal thing.
EEI, we're coming for you.
Someone must have said it to them because they're actually casting. They lost a longtime cast member on Danielle Muir. She kind of got off the show after 15 years. They've been interviewing for the past 2 weeks, and they're asking these people death row subs.
So our tiny little podcast here, so to speak.
So death row sub. The warden comes in. You're going to die tomorrow, and he says, I get you a sub from any sub shop in the world. It can't be your mother's kitchen. It can't be homemade. What sub shop, and what is the order? You know what a sub is, right?
Yeah. I'm going to kick myself because I don't know the name of the place. I could describe how to get there. And it really wasn't – it was in Philly, and I was only there for like 5 days for work. So I'm like, all right, this is the home of – right? Tell me where the best ones are.
Oh, the Philly cheesesteak?
Yeah.
Oh, like Geno's or – yeah, there's a couple.
I went to like 3 or 4 different places trying one, and there's one on – you know those intersections that have kind of a pointed corner?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like – this is such a shit description. I apologize. But like, I can see the place in my mind's eye, and I can see the storefront, and it's a corner location, and it's an institution in like downtown Philly, and I don't remember the name.
It might be Geno's. Well, you know what? If you research it afterwards, you can come back to this post and you can put it in there.
All right, I'll add it. Yeah, I'll look at where because it was. I don't know if I hadn't eaten all day or if it was the best sub I ever had in my life, but. It was unbelievable.
There you go. Second part of the question, death row meal. It can be any meal from any restaurant, but it has to be a restaurant, not home cooked. What restaurant and what is the order?
I mean, I don't think this is cheating because my favorite restaurant is you have to like prep to go there. Do you guys have a Fogo de Chao by you?
Yeah. No, we just got in South Boston. I think there's a Fogo de Chao.
Yeah, it's a Brazilian steak joint, and these guys bring around on spits the best meat you have ever eaten in your life. And there's like 10 different cuts floating around.
And you have the puck, right? You turn the green means meat, red means stop, right?
So you're gonna have eight different cuts of the best meat you've ever had in your life.
So Kevin Henry says it might have been Pat's. Was that the sub? Was that?
I think that was it. I really think it was. Ding. I don't want to look off corner, but Pat's in. Hang on. Because if I could see it, I would know. You know what I mean?
It's not, and he says it's next to Geno's. So there you go.
Mike, we're going to go for a bonus question for you today. We're going to take it one step further and go for dessert. If you could have a dessert, where and what?
God, dessert. And I'm a dessert guy.
Are you going to pass?
yeah, I'm freezing on dessert. That's crazy. Oh, I'm going to do the same thing to you guys. It sucks. I lived in Chicago 20 years ago.
I got to tell you, you can go local too. You know, it doesn't have to be someplace that you think that we would know.
Yeah. Oh no, I don't think you're going to know this place. There was across the street from, I'm actually wearing my shirt. There's a venue in Chicago called the Metro. It's about a block north of Wrigley Field. Anybody who knows Chicago knows the place. Across the street, there was a candy and sweets shop. And they had fresh homemade cannolis in there.
Ah, there you go.
And they were literally made that day. So a whole bunch of the staff and like the barbacks and the bouncers and stuff, we'd go over there and get those.
You know, it's funny. Like you would love Gloucester. It's amazing that you haven't been there. You would love Gloucester because we got probably three Scafani's, Virgilio's, and Cafe Sicilia.
Cafe Sicilia.
Is there any place else that makes homemade
Offhand, I can't think, and I'm sorry if we're not coming up with it offhand, but I mean, those seem to be the top three dogs.
Top three, yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, we're very fortunate here. It's a great place. You come up this summer, I'll tune you up with some lobsters.
You know what? I told my boss that I was, you know, I told you how this typically goes, is you do some outreach online, then you actually get to go there with your camera and interview people. I was literally on my first day looking up, and these I remember because they're fresh in my mind. The bars near there, the towny bars in Gloucester.
Praddy's,
Praddy's, Oliver's Harbor, Stone's Pub.
Yep, Stone's Pub.
They all look incredible. I'm like, I want to go hang out at those places so bad.
They're great. Yeah.
Well, you get a personal tour guide when you come to town, Joey, and I will take you around.
Scotty's a professional when it comes to the local watering hole, so to speak.
Definitely a professional in all senses of the word.
I'll take you up on it because I want to go.
Yeah, please do.
It's a great place. Well, thank you very much. We will get the word out. We'll share it. And looking forward to meeting you when you come to Gloucester.
Absolutely. Thank you guys very much.
Real quick, is there any sort of deadline for submissions?
Actually, yeah, I'll call sooner than later. I would say no later than the 12th. I know it's tight. Try to get it in the end of this week. Email us ASAP. It's a short burn.
So they can upload like a video, a clip of themselves or something like that. Is that probably the best way to get noticed?
If they have something they can put on YouTube and then put that link in their submission when they email Wicked Tuna Casting, something like that. Yeah, don't try to embed it because it'll never come through those big files. Right. But link us to something, yeah, where you're kicking ass and pulling fish out of the water and having a good time.
I just want to give a quick shout out to all of the cast members on Wicked Tuna and what they're doing for the city of Gloucester. And without, not just without the Wicked Tuna show, but for this specific purpose, thank you guys for making our city notice. So.
Yeah, we do appreciate it. All right, brother. Have a great day. We're going to get the word out and looking forward to the next season.
Thanks so very much, guys. I appreciate you having me on, helping me get the word out. Thank you very much. And I'm totally taking you guys up on that guided tour. We'll drink our faces off on the
dogs. We can go by boat also.
He said the right words. Drink our faces off. All right. Have a great day. We'll see you, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.